Take a moment to sit down while my presentation is loading. I'm afraid with my voice that you might pitch forward in a coma. I thought it was great that I could give my... You've heard a definition of a professor? Someone who talks in other people's sleep? I had a certain amount of experience along those lines. Anyway, if you want to sit down now, that's fine. As I'll say a little bit later, the title still fits pretty well, but I've adjusted the content. I regret to say there are no commercial relationships to disclose. I'd be happy to disclose some. There aren't any kind of financial relationships associated with my trip here. Brief overview of the presentation. I'm going to confess a little bit why the title is fine, but the abstract's a little off. I'm going to review for you. I think you're probably pretty familiar with Peter Senge's learning organization concepts. I was interested to see that the previous speaker mentioned create a learning organization, and I hope to show that that's a little easier to say and join someone to do than to do. James McGregor Burns really created the concept of transforming leadership. It's been morphed a little bit into transformational leadership in the public health literature and others. I took a look at the public health literature to see how these concepts are actually used, and I'll report on my conclusions. Here's a confession. Now, I've worked on this presentation for a while before submitting the abstract, but then I found that I was trying to force the material into the thesis instead of letting the thesis flow out of the material. And although the abstract at one level is still accurate, I think I've broadened the presentation to cover more material. So I hope you'll, if you came in hoping that you would see just exactly what I said I would do, that you won't be too disappointed, but now's a good time to leave if disappointment is so great you can't bear to face it. Anyway, I hope there'll be some benefit to the presentation. One of the things I thought I would reveal is that I directed a public health leadership institute in Florida for 16 years. Tremendous scholars. We had about 30 a year, about 500 total graduates of the program. And especially in the early years, I often use Burns and Senge's concepts and writings as the basis for the workshops, for presentations, for assignments. I also taught leadership at the University of South Florida at the master's and doctoral level, and those concepts figured more heavily in the academic setting than in the link with practice. And I found that despite what I thought were my best efforts, that there wasn't the result of using those concepts of the transforming leadership and the learning organization that I'd hoped for. And as probably not like you, but unfortunately like me, when you're in the rush of doing your job and leading your life and so on, I didn't step back a little bit from the Senge and Burns lack of success, and doing this caused me to look a little more closely than I perhaps should have in earlier years. So bear with me. Peter Senge's learning organization, did you notice in my predecessor's slides, create a learning organization? Well, these are the elements, the disciplines that have to be practiced in the learning organization. And I know this is going to be review for many of you, and I'll go fairly quickly for you, but personal mastery, mental models, building shared vision, team learning, systems thinking. These are the five disciplines of the learning organization. He calls them disciplines. And I thought instead of filtering Senge and Burns through Reed, I would select some what I think are fair and representative quotations from their writings to let you see what they, I believe, they meant when they used these terms. And personal mastery, you'll see a word like vision. You'll see seeing reality objectively, personal mastery starts with clarifying the things that really matter to us, living our lives in the service of our highest aspirations. So the building block, one of the building blocks, the spiritual foundation of the learning organization, is to have all of those who are going to be part of the organization clarify their vision and lead their lives in the service of their highest aspirations. So that, if you want to create a learning organization, that's the first thing you have everybody in the organization do, if you want to do it. Mental models. These are the ways subconscious in Senge's view, or largely self-conscious, subconscious, ways of interpreting what we see, our frameworks, our assumptions, our ideas about cause and effect, what lies below our everyday action or reaction to events. And so the discipline of working with mental models starts with learning to unearth our internal pictures of the world. We all have them. To be part of a learning organization, there must be this conscious effort to bring this understanding, this subconscious level into conscious understanding. The third discipline is building shared vision. The leader cannot do it by herself or himself, and so there is a discipline of building a learning, a shared vision. And again, the practice of shared vision involves the skills of unearthing the visions of other people in the organization, bringing not only to you as the leader, but also all of those with whom you work in the learning organization have to bring their visions up, and you look for links of their vision for the higher self, the higher practice to your vision. And then team learning is thinking together. And if you're going to have team learning, you will need to have all of the members of the team achieve personal mastery. They have to unearth their mental models, and they have to bring their vision to the tables for the learning to take place. So it's all team learning. It's not. And finally, systems thinking. Almost every, I noticed the subcategories for this session, systems thinking appeared often, as well as leadership. And as much as anyone, Peter Senge has popularized the concept of systems learning. And I put some quotes up there of organizations or systems. And the last one, the systems thinking is what brings the other four disciplines together in a coherent whole. It's an ensemble of all five of the disciplines. To truly have a learning organization, you need all five of them. And a few more words on systems thinking. Cause and effect are not close in time. It may take years for a cause to manifest itself in a result. Peter Senge, in his writing, said there are probably a dozen, at most, archetypes, as he called them, recurring patterns of events and behaviors that lead to the events, which lead to the events, which lead to the behaviors, which and what you need to do as part of your mental modeling, learning together, all of these things, is to look within your organization for those archetypes as they play out. Maybe if you've read his book, the one he uses, the illustration he used several times is the beer game. You all know what beer, just kidding. The beer game, in any case. And then I think the last quote, a good systems thinker, we all probably think of ourselves as good systems thinkers in one way or another, but what does a good system thinker do? Operates on four levels. Events, behavioral patterns, systems, and mental models. Maybe I don't quite live up to all of those four when I'm thinking about systems. More on leadership, the real skills of leadership in a learning organization are the skills of the effective parenting. The deep learning cycle is difficult to initiate. If you think that these disciplines are essential for the learning organization, then all of that, the leader's story and all of his vision, her vision, are the framework within which the learning organization develops. Before I go on, let me say a couple of things about the Peter Senge and James McGregor Burns. They're both, Burns is dead, but brilliant historian, widely recognized, justly so, for his preeminence in his field. And you all know Peter Senge is one of the most respected leadership and management thinkers and teachers and writers that we've ever had. They're both giants. So when, far be it from me to try to diminish their stature, but the point of the presentation eventually will be how glibly we use the term learning organization and transformational leadership, and how far it is as we use it from the master's concepts of them. So before I go on to transformational leadership, just let me ask you to reflect on, if you're going to have a learning organization, everyone personal mastery, everyone unearthing their mental models, everyone joining in to articulate these things to find a shared vision, everyone then engaging in team learning to discover the archetypes and share their common worldview and their culture, and then everyone engaging in systems thinking at those four levels. I think it's very difficult to do. It would be, and it's leadership driven. It's not, and that was one of the concerns I had when I originally put the abstract together, that it was so leadership driven that I don't think it reflected the way the health departments I'm familiar with and the work I've done quite. Always leadership, but not dominated by leadership, which is what I think Senge's teaching leads me to conclude. Burns' writings were primarily about political leadership. We're always, when we study leadership, encouraged to read the biographies of leaders, great and not so great, and learn about leadership. Well, he took that very seriously and studied the lives of many, many leaders and developed his theories based upon his historical research. And you've probably all heard of transactional leadership and transforming leadership. That was his term, transforming leadership. Little quote from, I should have mentioned, you see at the end, 3:19:20, at the end of this presentation, there's a list of 20-something references. And this means the third reference, which is by Burns, of course. You'll find this quote on 19 and 20. So if you download or look at my slides, you'll find the sources for these things. So you don't have to read through 500-page books to really get this. Transactional leadership based on exchange. I have something you want. You have something I want. Let's make a deal. Let's work out an arrangement whereby you get what you want. I get what I want. And most of the relationships between leaders and followers are transactional, he believed. Leaders want something, they want to find out what followers want, and they gain acceptance through the negotiation. Now, there are values involved. There are important values involved: honesty, responsibility, fairness, the honoring of commitments. Transactional leadership cannot work well for very long without these kinds of principles being put into effect. But transforming leadership, excuse me, is more potent. The transforming leader is someone who starts from a higher purpose, a higher sense of goals and a higher vision, if you will, and doesn't just work out, I'll give you salary, you give me 8 hours a day, I want to engage you more fully than that, maybe through mental models and shared learning and all kinds of learning organization things. It has a higher moral basis. Kind of leadership that will satisfy the authentic needs of followers, fundamental wants, needs, and values of the followers. But you don't stop with the fundamental values, or the values and wants and needs of the followers. You want to change the followers. You know that they all have, 5 minutes? Well, I'm sorry about your time. You won't be able to do your presentation. Well, I will speed along then, as you might think. You want to elevate, I'll go very quickly through these. If you want to see them, you'll have to download them or look at them from the website. Anyway, the purpose is to change the followers. The leader always starts from true transforming leadership always starts from a higher moral basis than the followers. An assumption that led me to make that abstract. I didn't think that was a reasonable higher moral basis of the first purpose is to change the followers. You need to bring those followers up toward your level of moral development. What does that say about transforming organizations and public health? There's a hubris behind this that I found troubling. The second is to achieve change. It's not just to elevate the morality of the followers, but also to use that elevated morality to actually follow through on the promises, the commitments, the goals, the higher order goals that you've set. You need to change things, not just change the leaders. The method is consciousness raising. Consciousness raising, a term I'm sure you're all familiar with from various social movements. But it's the leader's job to raise the consciousness of the followers. Morally superior leader raises the followers. So that's the first step in the process. The second step is when you've got the followers raised to close to your level, then they will push you to a higher moral level. So it's almost a ladder of elevating moral purpose, moral morality, both on the part of the leadership. And the only test is finally not just the leadership changing the followers, but the resulting in changes in attitudes, norms, institutions, and behaviors. You don't just change the followers. Skip, I was going to talk about my Leadership Institute experience. I looked at the literature. There's a fair amount of reference to learning organization. We just saw it, create one. Turning point, and the use was primarily in competency statements. You'll see those, DRPH, MPH. Description, what is it? It's often favorable. Yes, we ought to have learning organizations. We ought to have transforming leadership and references to the concepts in the literature. What I didn't find was any study reported in the journals and books that I looked at. Said, yeah, we actually created a learning organization consistent with Senge's principles, and this is how we did it. I think the reason is it's too hard to do that, so it's easy to say learning organization, we'll all get around, we'll share our ideas, we'll do research, we'll share those research, then we're learning. We must be a learning organization if we're learning, best practices, whatever. And the same thing with transforming leadership. Anyway, the explanation is public health agencies, leadership doesn't have the time to do this, probably too many things going on. There are also bureaucracies. How do you be creative in a bureaucracy? You have to find little corners, I think, here and there to do that. The hierarchy, division of labor, specialization, everything in a bureaucracy militates against good leadership, transforming leadership, making a learning organization, except in small corners. So I'm thinking maybe you want to stop using those terms and use maybe some of the concepts, but not think you're creating a learning organization because you have team building, not think you're creating a transforming leadership when you're making incremental changes in your agency. That's all. And then there are the references. So anyway, thank you all for bearing with me. I have so much more to tell you.